We have a bookstore available to you today, which is great time to have a bookstore. So if you want to get holiday blessings for people, you can get a book or some of these great materials that are available. Also, we have Donnie and Terry's cottage candles available. They smell really good. They last good. They don't make you sick when you light their wick. I want to share a little bit today something that is so fantastic. I want to share what the first century church did. I want to share a little bit on what the first century church did, especially at the beginning of the first century church. It's what they did. And the reason I want to share it is because I want us to be reminded of some things that are important for us to do. And I think a lot of us do a lot of these things. If you ever saw the movie, What About Bob? You could be one of those people, got it, need it. Maybe, got it, you know. So just, it'll be fun for us. These days are designed, they're called days in God's Word because we can hear God's Word. And God's Word is the most delivering thing that there is. It's the most helpful thing there is. It's the thing that helps hearts more than anything else. It's the most delivering thing there is because it's God's Word. And God's Word is true. So when we approach God's Word, we have to approach it with such a tremendous amount of respect and admiration, knowing that it's God's Word. And our hearts should be so hungry to know that the Word of God that's shared, if it's rightly divided, is right for you. It's for you today. This is for you. This is your day. This is my day. To hear God's Word, to believe it, and that the words in the Word of God today will be words that are needful in our lives, that'll be helpful, that'll be encouraging and edifying and everything else. We already heard from God. That was pretty edifying. He didn't say he hated us, did he? I didn't hear that once. It's pretty neat. Acts 2:41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls," which is about 6,000 feet. It's a lot of people got born again. This isn't numbers that differ back then than our numbering system. This wasn't three people. This was about 3,000 people got born again. They got born again and they received the word. They received his word and were baptized, and about 3,000 of them were. And it says that they gladly received his word. It's interesting way to receive God's word. Gladly. The word gladly means with joy. They were happy about hearing God's word. They weren't thinking about what next gift they have to buy Aunt Betty. They were happy and glad about receiving God's word. They were blessed to be at a place where they could hear God's word, just like I am, just like you are. And they received God's word. If you remember James chapter 1, verse 21, it says they received the word with what? Meekness, the engrafted word which was able to make whole or save their soul. They received it with meekness. Here they received it gladly. Receiving God's word gladly and with meekness will help us receive the most out of the word of God. To receive God's word with hesitancy and with not being happy about it, we're not going to receive it at all. So we might as well be happy about it and might as well be meek about it and receive it. And fantastic. Look at verse 42. This is some of the stuff that the first century church did. They received gladly the word of God. How about that? Verse 42. And they, these about 3,000 souls, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly. Steadfastly means to remain or to stay. Not to vacillate, but to stay, to remain. What did they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They stayed. They remained in God's Word as taught by the apostles. They remained all through this section. Another thing to notice is you'll see the word "and" come up a lot. The word "and." The word "and," when it's used many times, is a figure of speech, polysyndeton. And the word polysyndeton, that figure is just to emphasize the enormity of the result of the day of Pentecost. This is right, the day of Pentecost, and this is right following the day of Pentecost. It's just to emphasize the enormity of things that transpired as a result of the day of Pentecost. And here, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And in fellowship. You know, they stayed, they remained with the right teaching of God's Word taught by the apostles. And here, it also says, and fellowship. Fellowship, as most of you know, is the word that means full sharing. It means full participation. It means communion. It means intercourse. This is what this fellowship, it's a full sharing, a full participation. It's a communion. And you know what that's like when you have that with someone. It's just so awesome. Nothing's held back. It's a full sharing. It's not half-stepping. It's a full sharing. You're not concerned about somebody jumping on your heart. You share. You share. You share fully. That's what these people did. The early church did this. They fellowshiped. They shared fully. Their hearts, their very lives. They gave. They gave. They fellowshiped. And that's very imperative. There's about 3,000 people that did this. 3,000 people that did this. They continued steadfast. They remained in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't vacillate upon the rightly divided word of God. And they shared fully. They had communion. They had full participation between themselves. It was just so fantastic. It sure seems like in our day and time, the adversary has done a great job at holding people back from sharing fully one with another. And we all have those excuses. Well, I've been hurt. Oh, you've been hurt? Que lastima, lo siento mucho. I'm so very sorry you've been hurt. Hey, there's an adversary in this world. He hurts everybody. That's no excuse from holding back to giving, to loving, to sharing fully, to giving, to communicating, to blessing, to communing with, to have full participation with. It's not an acceptable excuse if you're hurt or if I'm hurt. That's what these fellows did, and women. They shared fully. This is what the early church did. These are just some biblical things that they did. And it seems like they must have been happy about it. You married couples, who have you had more arguments with than anybody else in your life? I don't want the answer. I know it. Who do you love more than anybody else in this life? Your husband or your wife. So can't tell me it's because you won't share fully because somebody argued with you. Well, unless your marriages are just like, good morning, good night. I mean, what kind of, your marriages aren't like that, are they? No, of course not. But these folks fellowship. And sometimes it just seems like the adversary tries to do his best to get people separated. The other night I almost burned down my house again. I do it every year. I forget to open the stupid Flume or Flutie or whatever it is. And there's me and Jody, Fire Marshal Bill and Dad. My whole house is on smoking. The whole house. I mean, it's smoking. And we took down the alarm clocks, what are those, fire alarms, many years ago, because I do this every year. But the smoke was so bad it got through the fire door into the garage, and a smoke alarm that we'd taken down years ago in a box somewhere went off. So Jody's going, don't, Dad. So I'm wrapping this towel around my arm, and I put water on, and I go, I'm going to get this flu open. And I'm going in the middle of the fire, my hands burning off and stuff. You know, what did that have to do with anything? Oh, the fire of Pentecost, that's right. No, sorry. What was I talking about? Fellowship. Yeah, well, good. Me and Jody had good fellowship. Anyway, that's what them folks did. They shared fully. Oh, maybe that's why I'm sharing fully. I'm sharing fully with you. That's the point. Okay. And, here's that word, and in breaking of bread. They ate together. You guys have no problem in this category. You excel. You may be extremist in this area. You might even be off. No, I'm just kidding. New Jersey's always excelled in this area because people like to eat, the food here is good, and the fellowship around the table is always good. It's something I noticed when I first moved here and still notice today. And the food that they ate when they broke bread back then, most of the times, was salted. And that salt represented a tremendous commitment that they made towards one another. The bread was salted, the meat would be salted. It represented that they would die before they went against each other. You know, there is something to the word loyalty. Don't talk about it that much. I think I should talk about it more. Maybe that's why I've decided to talk about it now. It seems like the devil isn't going to be happy until he divides everyone, until there's no one left except you and your own self. Well, when they broke bread, it meant something to them. They were making a commitment to each other, not just to eat, but they would die before they go against each other. That'd be a good rule of thumb today. Be a good rule of thumb. And let the Word of God be the answer to any discussion, to any argument, to anything else. And then we can agree on the Word of God. But these days, you look at somebody cross-eyed, they think you don't like them, that you're from the devil, they see horns growing out of your head, and they're never going to fellowship with you again. Well, that's stupid. If we have a biblical issue, that's okay. But personalities or this or that, what, God woke up one day and made you Miss or Mr. Personality, that the sun sets and rises on you? Or me? Sorry. Hey, these folks fellowshiped and they broke bread. They ate together. Their food was salted and that meant something to them. Look what else. It's just a couple 25,000 things here they did. And in prayers, they prayed together. And you know, this is so important in this one verse. Look at all this stuff. And they prayed together. They prayed together. What a wonderful thing. I know some of you have prayer partners. I think that's great. Some of others of you pray in the morning with your household or your home or your family, or you pray at supper time, or you pray. You pray throughout the day. You pray with other believers. That's a fantastic habit to get into. It's a tremendous way to get close to someone. It's a tremendous way to see things come to pass. They prayed together. These about 3,000 souls, that's a lot more than that's in this room, they prayed together. They ate together. They broke bread. They fellowshiped together. They stayed put on God's rightly divided word together. You know? It's fantastic. If we really love God and His Word and His people, then who would you want to spend the most time with? Who would you want to be with the most? I like being with people who love God and who love me. So do you. So it's so important to be with believers as much as we can, you know. It blesses God and it blesses others when we do this. And you know, these guys did things together. And they had lives, they had jobs, they had families, they had homes to take care of. It's not like they didn't do anything. They just sat around. They had lives just like we do. We are too busy so often. The adversary does his best to steal time so we don't get to eat together, so we don't get to pray together, so we don't get to fellowship together. You sit in front of a computer instead and call that fun. fun's really getting into someone's heart and life and letting them get into your heart and life with the Word of God and with love. Praying together is fun. It's fantastic. So that's something else they did. They prayed together. That's just verse 42. Look at verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. It was fear, great respect. There was tremendous respect that came upon every one of those people. There was respect. There was a mutual respect for God and for each other. And wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Signs and wonders are the result of believing God's word. You know, that parking place that God got you, that's fantastic. I don't know if it's a sign or a wonder. I don't know all the definitions that are involved with that. But if it's something God has done for you, whether it's healing you of a cold or healing you of a disease or healing you of a broken heart or getting somebody born again, how about that one? I mean, good gravy. These believers believed. Because the first thing they did was they were steadfast. They remained faithful in the apostles' doctrine. You know what that requires? Listening. I did a teaching a couple weeks ago. Don't remember all there was to it, but I remember every record I looked at in the book of Acts, the thing that started the deliverance was the person that got delivered or the people got delivered. They listened. And they expected. They listened and they expected. So these signs and wonders are available. They saw it in the first century church, and it's still the same church, different time, not the first century anymore. But they're the result of believing. And look at verse 44. It says, and all that believed were together. All the believers were together and had all things common. Were together. Were together. It means they were together on God's word. They were together in the apostles' doctrine. They listened to God's word. They were together because they prayed. They were together because they shared fully. They communed. They participated fully one with another. They were together. It's obvious they were together. They were together. And it's a great thing. And they were together in their believing too. In verse... and then it says, and had all things common. You know, the believers then helped each other out. If you have a need and I'm able to help you, then I do my best to help you. If I have a need and you're able to help me, you do your best to help me. If I'm able to help you, I'd like to help you. And we should be aware of others' needs. You know, you'll never be aware of others' needs if you never see anybody. You'll never be aware of others' needs if you don't know others. How are you going to know what I need if you don't know me? You don't spend time with me. You can guess, but how are you going to know? God could tell you, but so could I maybe, if you talk to me. You know, and you guys know me. How you doing? If I'm doing good, I'll say I'm doing really good. If I'm not doing so good, I'll say I'm really not doing so good. And you know, I don't feel bad about that because I'm a human being. And if I'm not doing so good, and you would say, well, what can I do for you? And I could say, well, just keep praying for me or keep loving me. And I really mean that. If you do that, that really is a help. But how do you know what to do for someone if you don't ever know them, if you don't know them? You can't. So it's good to be together. They were together on God's word. And they had all things common, which means they helped each other out. If the body of Christ really went to the full limits of walking in love, we'd have a lot of our needs met, that's for sure. And there's no selfishness in love. You know, it's all about giving. It's all about reaching out. This time of year should be a fun time of year. Unfortunately, it becomes an obligatory time of year where you end up having to get Aunt Donna a gift, and you don't want to get Aunt Donna a gift. You don't even like Aunt Donna. But you have to get Aunt Donna a gift because Aunt Donna sends you that 82-pound fruitcake every year. So Aunt Donna needs something. What can we get her? Let's see. You know, a set of marbles. You know. Giving's a really great way to live, and you guys are really good examples of that for the most part. You're really good. See, most of the stuff you excel at, you're really good at. That's why when people come here, they're so attracted. They don't get it sometimes. Well, it's no secret. It's because you do a lot of these things yourself. You already do them. You do them. This is just like a reminder of what the first century church did. They did this. They had all things common. 1 John 3, I just want to read that real quick. 1 John 3. And you know, sometimes when people have needs, it's not convenient for you. You ever notice that? My family had a need last night, and we were up until 3 a.m. taking care of it. It was awesome. It was awesome. Just a bunch of kids yelling at their dad, and dad yelling at the kids. You know, you have kids? Any of you have kids? That's never happened. It's awesome. You work things out. Let not the sun go down upon you what? Your rat. You got to work things out. It's never convenient. Life's not convenient. Giving is never convenient, it doesn't seem like. But that should never prevent us from giving. Should never prevent us from helping. It should never prevent us from loving. You know. Life's cool. Now we're going to have another family meeting. Okay. All right. I don't care. Verse 17. Look at this in light of giving. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's a question asked already knowing the answer. If you see somebody that has a need, and you turn your back on them, like, remember that record in the Gospels where, you know, this guy got the hell beat out of him, and he's laying there on the street, and the religious guy who knows the Bible walks on the other side of the street. Then the other guy that's really good guy walks on the other side of the street. But the low-life Samaritan helped him. See, who do you think got the most blessing? The religious guy who had 46 scriptures as to why he shouldn't help? Or the one who helped? Look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in what? Yeah, we don't need to talk about it all the time. We just do it. Pretty great. Back in Acts chapter 2. I just got so blessed the other day looking at this again. It just is so awesome. Verse 45. It says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all, as every man had need. They got rid of things that they didn't need. You know, they got rid of stuff they didn't need. A great way to travel is light. They got rid of stuff they didn't need. It said they sold their possessions and goods. It doesn't mean they got rid of everything they had. They got rid of their possessions, plural. They didn't sell what they needed. They didn't give away what they needed. They got rid of the things that they didn't need. And then they gave as the people had needs. They parted them to all men as every man had need. If there's a need in the believer's life that we can help them with, we should. If there's something we know that we can bless somebody with and help somebody, and we have the resources and the ability to do so, yeah, we should do it. And you know, again, you guys are really tremendous at this. And if you're not really tremendous at it and have been around a while, you've seen a lot of believers that are really tremendous about it, because there's a lot of you that are tremendous at it. It's fantastic truth. We can help them. If we can help them, we should. We need to back each other up with great loyalty. And how would you know, again, what somebody would need, let's say, if you didn't know them? How would you know that? How would you know how you could help a person if you didn't know how to, if you didn't know the person? When I pray, well, I have different times that I pray, but when I pray in the mornings and I pray for fellowships, and it's cool. It's so cool. I pray for everybody in that fellowship, not just the fellowship coordinators. Everybody I can remember. Every day I do that. Every day. North, south, every day. Everyone that's in those fellowships. I pray for the PECs every day. Every day. Why? Because I want to. That's one way I know I can help them. I can pray for them. I pray for Bridget. I pray for Jada Cohen. Every day. They're not fellowship coordinators, but they're in fellowship. I have trouble with Wesley's because I don't know everybody. I don't know everybody in that fellowship. It bothers me. So, prayer isn't just like throw up a prayer and just forget about it. Boy, there's an involvement there. If you should take the time if you want to really help someone. That's one great way to help somebody. And it's an awesome, awesome thing to do while you're gazing at a computer you're not paying attention to at work anyway. So let's go to verse 46. And they, again, the word and they, the three, about 3,000, continuing daily with one accord. Whoa! Continuing daily with one accord. I think we forgot that daily part. I think after the ministry fell apart, we forgot that one. They fellowshipped every day. I don't know how they did it. Ask them. Well, I guess they're dead. They can't answer. But, you know, I don't know. I can read the word. It says daily with one accord. They fellowship with believers every day. You know, and they did it without phones, without faxes, without computers, without email, without palm corners, without cell phones, without cell phones. They fellowshipped every day. Without cars, without automobiles, without mass transit, trains, planes, jets. How about that? Awesome. They fellowship daily with one accord. It's fantastic. If the church, if believers don't see believers every day, the church will die. It'll die. It'll just die. In 1 Corinthians, the last chapter, Paul, by revelation, compliments the house of Stephanas in that they had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. How many of you were at the very first Rock of Ages, 1971? Well, there's four of us here. Who is that? The gingerbread ladies? Doug and me. Yeah. That was the theme. Did you remember that? Anybody? Of course you did, Doug. Yeah. And I'll never forget the definition given that was for addicted was give up something for the constant practice of another thing. And what they gave up, what they wanted to practice was being together with the believers. Here it says daily with one accord. One accord is the Greek word homothumidon. And it means with one mind. It means unanimously. They did this with one mind. They were there, as the old saying goes. They were there. Your heartbeat, my heartbeat. Mikasa sukasa. You know, my heart, your heart. They were there. They were. You know why? Because they continued steadfastly daily in the apostles' doctrine. They stayed faithful to God's word. That's how they could be there. They were with one accord. This one accord really comes from two words. One means to rush along, and another means in unison. It means to rush along in unison, together, one accord, like-minded, together, moving together. You get things done if you have a bunch of people moving the same direction together. We set this place up generally in less than an hour because we've done it so many times. And we do it in unison. We do it together And we do it with time in mind. And it's fun. So it means to rush along in unison. From Greek literature, it's almost this homothumadon, this one accord is almost musical. And I understand this a little bit. A number of notes are sounded, which while they're totally different, they harmonize in pitch and they harmonize in tone. An A note is way different than a D note. A D note is way different from an E note. An E note is different from a G, from an F, from a B. Did I forget any? C, which is the main one. Right. And you know, alone they're cool notes. Together they're beautiful. And that's this word homothumadon. They, even though there's a number of notes and they're all different, they harmonize in pitch and tone. And I thought about the beauty of the one body and how different all of us are and how awesome it is that we're all so different. No one better than anybody else. God didn't magnify Greg Guadalrama over Brian Bonnet. We're all the same, same spirit, but we're all completely different. We have a different pitch. We have a different note than anyone else has. But when those notes are moving unanimously together, boy, things get done. The Word of God moves. Man, signs, miracles, and wonders happen. It's a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic reality. They did this with one mind in this first century church. This is how the first century church walked in the beginning of it. These believers walked unanimously. They were loyal to each other. They moved God's word together. And these believers did it with one mind and one passion. They did it together. They did it together. If we're ever going to see God's word move again, like we'd like to see it move, this is imperative. This section applied is imperative to understand and to manifest together. This word of God, again, is not an aid to devotion, something to get you psyched up for a day and then forget about it. It's the very life of God. That's how we get to know God. This is what they did in the first century church. I imagine there were sacrifices that needed to happen in order for them to make the change so that they could be like that. It takes a little time. It starts with the decision. And look what else it says here. Continuing daily with one accord. And by the way, this one accord is used 12 times in the New Testament, and 10 of those times is in the book of Acts. Think about it. Awesome. If it's the history of the Word of God moving in the first century, then it might be pretty important to realize that that's a very important aspect of it, moving together. Well, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. House to house. They ate at each other's house. And this is kind of a cool thing because they bring this, this is brought up by Revelation twice, eating together. Praying isn't brought up twice. One accord isn't brought up twice. As Albert always says, what? A lot more people answered than just Albert. That's right, you got to eat. I remember when I first moved to New Jersey in August of 1982, I was visiting Sid and Stella Waite. And I'd spend 2 or 3 days when I first moved here at people's homes so I could get to know them. And I had a stomachache. My stomach really hurt. And Stella told me I should eat a lot and that that would really help me. Well, she was wrong, but I listened. So, the Italian solution, eat. They ate at each other's homes. And then it says, they ate their meat with gladness. And the word gladness means euphoric. They were euphoric, and it means with Are you for it? I am. No. They ate it. They ate it euphorically. No. And they it means also with merriment and with festivity and with dancing. Man, they were happy about eating these folks. I'm telling you now. They ate with merriment. They were all happy about eating. They're so happy they'd eat some spaghetti and dance. They were happy about eating at each other's homes. It's fantastic. When I first moved here, another thing, you know, Joe Guarini was the godfather of food. And when I moved here, he had the whole year set for me, which was great. Damn near killed me, but it was great. He had 12 Christmas parties scheduled in about 6 weeks that I had to go to. Everybody's area. And they just did it up. I mean, when I moved here, I weighed 173 pounds. I weighed 242. I think it's the menopause. But tell you what, I never saw so much food in all my life. And when I moved here, I came from Georgia. And the food I hated when I moved here the most was chicken. Because everywhere I went in Georgia, I got chicken. I mean, it was good chicken. It was the best chicken. But I got chicken, then I got chicken. Then it for chicken, chicken. Fried, deep fried breasts of chickens. And when I got here, it changed to... Exactly. It's still my favorite food, though. So they were happy to eat at each other's homes. They looked forward to having people in their homes to eat, and the people that came to the homes were happy about going to the homes and eating. They made merriment. They danced. They were happy. This is no less significant than all the rest of these things. It's fantastic. It's what the first century church did. It's what they did. It worked pretty good. Gladness and singleness of heart. Singleness means they had simplicity, plainness, undivided loyalty is another word for it. They were locked in with each other. They love each other. Singleness of heart. And the word heart is, you know, the seat of one's personal life. They were locked in their hearts with each other. They were just locked in. They loved being together. It wasn't a bummer. It was a blessing. It was something to look forward to. And then verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved or those who were being saved. Look at that. Praising God. Praising means to speak praise of, to celebrate. They celebrated God by their words, by their actions. They celebrated God in their hearts by believing the word of God that was taught to them. They celebrated God by praying with each other. They celebrated God by fellowshipping with each other. They celebrated God by eating with each other. They celebrated God by giving to one another. They celebrated God with all these wonderful things. They were daily with one accord. And it says favor, praising God and having favor, and that's the word grace, which means a pleasing work with kindness, gentleness, thankfulness, respect, or a real blessing. These people were no different than you and I. These people were born again of God's Spirit, and this is the acts that they took in their lives to be with one another. These are the things that they did with one another. No wonder God added to the church. Look at how wonderful these believers conducted themselves. Why was the Lord able to add to the church daily? Because believers were like-minded on God's word. They loved each other. They fellowshiped together daily. They spoke God's word to each other. You know what? In this little Milltown area, just this Milltown area right here, you know how many believer homes there are? And I'm not talking about husbands and wives. With another person, there's 9. That's awesome. I mean, that's really cool. 9 homes, different places that people live, that have other believers living with them besides their own immediate family. It's fantastic. It's just fantastic. But this is what happened. Why the Lord was able to add to the church daily such as were being saved. They were like-minded. They fellowshiped. They ate together. They spoke God's word to each other. They enjoyed each other's company. They prayed together. They praised God together. They gave of their abundance. They looked for needs and they helped others with their needs. And there was a great kindness towards each other. Great tenderness, great love. When there's little or no love, when there's little or no daily fellowship, when there's little no tenderness or forgiveness, sweetness amongst God's people, there will be very little growth. Very little growth. As God's children, we need to see the significance of the opening of the church in the book of Acts. As we apply these truths in our lives, we will be blessed. God will be blessed. And that'll make it very appealing for others to be blessed also. So, Father, thank you for your love, your grace, and your goodness. Thank you for your word that you've magnified above your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We'll break until 25 until 3. Bless you.